Welcome back to Punch Drunk Nerd. I'm Miguel Sanchez. With me today is
Ed Bull.
Ed Bull.
And I just won. I just won the game of chicken.
I can't believe I did that. Yeah, Luis isn't here currently. He's going to be here in just a little bit. He was a little delayed, so we're going to get started without him. We're vibing tonight, you guys. I'm back. First off, I've been gone for a couple weeks.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is this person? He's taken over Luis. He murdered Luis, and here he is now.
Whoa. No, but what an episode to come back on. There's a lot of stuff I really want to talk about on this one, and I can't wait to get into it. You guys know the drill. We're talking about news,
horses.
Trailers, horses that have died. And we're going to talk about our feature discussion. You guys, the Golden Globe nominations have come out, and Ed, you're going to really have to lead that conversation.
Or Luis, yeah, we'll see.
And we're also going to talk about the Christmas hit of the year, The Holdovers. I don't know. We'll see how we feel about that. And as always, we'll talk about what we're into. And Ed, good God, you've watched a lot.
I've watched a lot. It's my season, baby.
This is an Ed-heavy episode, okay? So
maybe we'll see how long you have to talk about Spider-Man 2.
Oh,
which
starts now.
Starts now.
Okay.
We've been talking about Spider-Man 2 a lot recently.
We've talked about the game a lot
since you've been gone, I guess. But
I had to stop. That's why I left. I was like, if I keep recording, I'll keep talking Spider-Man 2. No, this is the game that just won't quit, okay? Except I have currently, and I've been waiting on the latest update to come out, which has been for the last, ever since the game came out, the big update was going to come out by the end of 2023. Well, Ed, I know you're upset about this. It's terrible news out of Insomniac Studios today. The big Spider-Man 2 update for PS5 is not coming until early 2024 now. They released
That's like less than a month away, right?
That could be January 1st. It could be January 31st, whichever, how many days are in January. So you haven't played the game, but I'm going to tell you about some updates that I've been looking forward to and that they have said that should be in this big update coming out next year.
Yeah.
So first off, the big thing that I've been really wanting is New Game Plus. Ed, you know what a New Game Plus is?
No.
Cool. We've talked about it a lot. You haven't listened to a single episode. That's cool.
Oh, man. I tune out every time.
I get it.
Streaming.
Stop. Okay. Just stop. If you don't know, just say you don't know. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
No. New Game Plus, when you finish the story, Ed, quick brief recap. You play the story, you finish the game. A lot of games will offer a New Game Plus where you replay the story all over again. But they give you all of the achievements and upgrades and everything you've earned through your first playthrough. So you get to play like on a hyped up level. You know what I mean? And in Spider-Man 2, you earn a lot of powers. I've earned a lot of powers and I want to replay that story again with those powers. So early 2024, the update will come out with New Game Plus. They're giving you the opportunity to replay some levels in the story. So if there was like a big chapter you thought was really fun and you want to replay, they're going to give you that opportunity without having to start the whole story again, you know?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
What, Ed, you have a question?
So are you telling me that at some point in gaming history, they stopped letting you go back to certain points, certain chapters in a story?
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. That is interesting.
I didn't expect you to have such a passionate view on this part of the story.
When you're paying above and beyond, I feel like everything. I understand, like, once you've completed a story, maybe, but like, are there still like moments, like pinpoints throughout the storyline where you save it and you can go back? I feel like that has always been a thing.
Most modern gaming, most modern gaming has an autosave function. So what's happening is the system is autosaving as you go. And there's kind of like a separate file for autosaves. Now, if you want to, don't yawn yet. I'm just starting to answer your question, Ed. You can also manually save a game. And that's a more old school thing where you're like manually saving. Your progress in the game. There are games that you can go back and replay chapters. Okay. It's just sometimes you feel like you have to go back and play the whole story to get there. And Spider-Man, Insomniac is saying you can go back and play Spider-Man 2. You can just pick a chapter and replay that in the story.
Right. Yeah.
A couple other things. These are the things you really wanted to hear about, Ed. Okay. So I don't know if you know this, but in spoiler, Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man becomes Venom at one point. You know what I mean? He gets the Venom powers. And when you become Venom, you get these, they're called tendrils. Do you know what a tendril is?
Like tentacles.
Like kind of like a tentacle, right? Like I would have context clued that together. I've never heard the word tendril before. I've never said it so many times. But anyway, you punch bad guys and your Venom punch comes out and it's like a tendril is what they're calling it. Anyway, as you in the new game plus or in the settings of the new update, you can change the colors. So like if you're, there's a point where you're black Venom and you're white Venom. And I assume that means you can change between both of those colors. And also finally, Ed, have you ever just wished, you know what I mean?
Upon a star.
When you wake up in the morning that you were just like, that it was the end of the day and I don't even have to go through this day. Well, in Spider-Man 2, you can change the time of day. Okay.
Cool.
Now there are a few games that use this feature. So it is basically like you go to like a meditation point or something like that. And then the sun goes for whoosh. And then all of a sudden the moon is up and it's nighttime. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? So
which do you prefer?
Well, it kind of depends on the game that I'm playing. Like if I'm playing Assassin's Creed Origins, okay, so that's the one where they're in Egypt.
Yeah.
And sometimes the sunny desert feels like a vibe. And sometimes you want to stealth and you want to put that moon up so that I can stealth and everyone's asleep and it's a little quieter. So it just kind of depends on the game you're playing and what you're going for.
But Spider-Man specifically.
Spider-Man 2. Ed, I don't mean to... We got time to fill, you know what I mean? So I want to ask you a quick question. You texted me earlier tonight about video games, and I feel like we should just have this conversation now, okay?
Sure.
Ed, you texted me, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You are inspired to maybe buy the Nintendo Switch.
Possibly, yeah.
Tell me, can you just like, just overview it? What's going on?
This hasn't even been like an open discussion. It's more of just like, I don't know really what made it click, but, well, I guess like, I don't know, like seeing like how, your child is adapting to playing video games. And Lily is good with like, she had her tablet, which recently kind of just died, but, but she, you know, I don't know. She's engaging with things like that a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I know there are games out there that are, you know, fun and educational, but easy, you know, to grasp, you know. And, you know, it's a modern world kind of thing. But no, I was thinking like, you know, what's the equivalent of what the Wii was back in its heyday? You know what I mean? Like,
that's the Nintendo Switch.
Right, so I was just like, yeah, that would be cool, you know, because one, the whole family can play it.
Yeah.
The games are more appealing. As of right now, like, sure, do I want, like, a PlayStation for myself and so I can play some of the more, like, mature games? Mm-hmm. But, like, if that's something I'm going to invest in the near future, I'd rather it be something that we can at all least use. Share.
Yeah,
exactly. And then, you know, benefit from it. But so, yeah, anyway, it was just a consideration. And I also thought, like, you know, it's been around for a while. I know it's probably pretty accessible. And I'm sure they have a few different versions, maybe, you know, some more affordable, or some, you know, just whatever, you know, all the possibilities. So that's, well, that's basically, I've not mentioned this to Sarah, and, you know.
Get her on the phone. Get her on the episode right now.
Well, she clearly won't answer your calls. So.
No, clearly. Ed, you asked me to not get super passionate about this, and I promise I won't. But can I give you some thoughts on this dilemma you're having?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So first off, let's talk the Nintendo. All right.
Video games.
Hey. All right. So I think this is, for the reasons you've already said, you know, this is the console for you guys, okay? Because all three of you can play it. You can all three play it solo if, for some reason, each of you found a game that you really wanted to play. And you can also play together as a family. You know what I mean?
Right.
We have been kind of trading off. We just have the Switch, so it comes with the two controllers you can pull off. Pull off. And let me clip that. And so it's just been like all three of us kind of taking turns, like on two player type games. But we bought that the console during COVID. Okay. I was like, okay, we're home a lot. It was relatively affordable. I got the Nintendo Switch for me and Kristen. And my boy was not, I don't think he was even one. He was a little over 1 year old when that happened. And I remember thinking, oh, down the line, like 5, 6, 7 years old, he can play the Switch with us. And that was kind of the justification. This dude's been playing it since last year. Okay. Thumbs up. More like thumbs down. Okay.
Oh.
And he plays it pretty regularly. I bought several cartridges, different games he can play, and they got lost in the last move, and we just found them in this recent move.
Nice.
And so it's like Christmas all over again. Yeah, he's like, hell yeah. Look at all these games. So we're kind of having fun. The one that we played, me and him both. Now, Ed, this is for you and a two-player. So you and Sarah, you and Lily, this is a good game. Super Smash Bros. You ever play that game?
Of course.
Oh, come on. On the N64. That's when I played it last. Okay.
I didn't play it it was like a more recent iterations.
Well, I'm an old head. And I Pikachu's in the game, and the boy saw the cartridge or whatever and saw Pikachu, and he was like, "Oh, Pikachu." I later found out he was talking about Kirby. But I was like, "Oh yeah, you know, that's Super Smash Bros. We could sit down and play that game." So I put it on the TV. We played it, and I mean, we, for like a whole day last weekend, we were playing that back and forth. I mean, I couldn't believe how long we played it, and it was so fun. The other thing about the Switch, Ed, you can hold it. That's, the Switch is in the name. You can hold it, or you can put it on your TV. It comes with a console and a power cord. You just need an HDMI. You plug it right into the TV or the projector. Boom, you're playing Switch on the TV. It's super easy. This is kind of the console for you guys, because listen, I'm a parent, and whether good or bad is up to you who's listening, but sometimes I hand my son the Switch. Like, we're going on a road trip in a week, and I'm going to hand him the Switch for a period of time, and he's going to sit back there and he's going to quietly play that while I drive for 9 hours, and that's okay. You know, you can have that too.
You guys are driving down to Texas?
On a separate note, we're driving down. It's going to be really fun.
But yeah.
You texted me about this. I was just kind of like, ooh, and I feel like I would have more conversations with you about this. But the Switch, should Ed get the Switch? Let us know down in the comments. Like, subscribe, youtube.com.
Yeah.
We'll do a poll. Come on, you guys. Please engage with us.
Or also, you know, send me money.
That's right.
As always.
If you guys don't engage with our podcast on socials, we may die.
We may. We might.
Speaking of, Ed, you have some news.
Oh, man. Terrible. Terrible segue. Man, yeah. So, Miguel, you were probably as shocked as I was.
I was, actually. I was being silly, but...
This very sad passing of Andre Brower.
Can you... My God.
Like, out of nowhere, like, I happened to be out with a friend and getting a drink and stuff, you know, on a weeknight, and I looked down at my phone for 1 minute, and that was the first thing that came up.
And some of the most tragic news you could experience. Yeah.
So sad. I think you're on this group chat. Our good friend Chase, like, texted us. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Chase is, here to tell us who died now. And it didn't register with me the name right away. And I was just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's Captain Holt. You know, like. So,
such an unexpected death, you know what I mean? And we just had Matthew Perry a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, earlier this year, Lance Reddick died, and I don't know if that was a big deal for you, but like, was a big deal, you know?
Because like that dude was fit as a fiddle. Andre Brower wasn't, but like apparently it was just brought on by like some illness he had recently.
Oh, I hadn't heard that yet. I knew that. You're breaking that news to me.
Like 61 years old, like,
oh, man.
No age at all. And like, I feel like you know, after Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like, he was gonna show up
He kind of could have done anything, you know?
Anything, yeah.
Yeah.
He was so good in that show, like, man, and like, the outpouring of, you know, messages and like videos of him and stuff like that. From Brooklyn Nine-Nine and other stuff, but it was sad. That was a sad one. So I thought he was worthy of a shout out for sure.
No, I agree.
Because and if you haven't watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, check it out. He was also in that movie Glory. Have you seen that one with Matthew Broderick?
That movie
and
Glory,
Washington? Yeah,
Glory. The one we all watched
as kids
in 10th grade history. When PE coach showed us a historical drama.
He's like, watch this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've seen Glory, Ed. No, it's actually been forever since I've seen that. That's insane.
But he's great in that too. Like, everybody usually talks about like Denzel Washington in that film, but he was great. That was like my introduction to him. So, sad loss. Andre Brower.
We're going to have to watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine now.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Incredible moments. Yeah. Very sad. There it is. So let's move swiftly on to some more lighthearted fare, Miguel. We had some trailers.
Oh.
And let's get did I miss something?
No, I was going to segue into our feature discussion. I forgot about trailers. Let's go.
Let's do it, because there's one we really want to talk about.
Yeah, so. let's talk about the other one first.
And it's Luis's fault for not being here. We're not going to talk about Kung Fu Panda 4, because...
You guys, Kung Fu Panda, the trilogy, is no longer a trilogy. They're adding a fourth one. You can watch the trailer on your own.
We're not going to talk about it.
Ed's kind of anti-Jack Black. That's the reason why we're not talking about
him. I've come around to him, but like, I love actually the first Kung Fu Panda. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great movie.
Not The Holiday, though. You don't love that movie.
But he wasn't even the worst part about that. It was Cameron Diaz.
Well, that's the first time you've ever said that. Okay.
I mean, would Jack Black ever be able to get with Kate Winslet? No.
There it is. I was telling Kristen that the last time we watched this movie. I was like, Ed hates this movie solely because Jack Black gets with Kate Winslet, who Ed would kill the entire earth to be with.
Not so much that. I just like his movies didn't really appeal to me. I didn't like School of Rock.
He's such an asshole.
Cheesy. I liked him in The Jackal.
The Jackal is the movie you're pulling out of your ass right now? Oh my god. Dude, Richard Gere. He was barely in The Jackal. First off, that had to have been one of his like first big movies.
Yeah.
And he gets his arm blown off in that movie. My mom was like, Miguel, look away. Miguel, look away. I was like, no, hang on. What happened?
What happened to his arm?
I haven't thought about that movie in forever.
Yeah, good one. Check it out. But point being, like King Kong, he's like my least favorite part about that too. Like he spends the whole movie just staring off camera.
Well,
you know, it gets a little tiresome. And that's on Peter
Jackson,
too.
One Jack Black movie you like.
Jumanji
2. Tropic Thunder. Okay. That's a good one.
He's great in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. He's great in a lot of things.
Yeah, and I love his, you know, I love it when he breaks out in song. You know?
Yeah.
It's usually fun. So...
Well, yeah, anyway, we're not going to talk about Kung Fu Panda 4. You'll see it. You won't see it.
I was like, why are we talking about Jack Black again?
I had to bring it back.
Yeah. Okay, but, so first off, I just want to like point out this trailer because I thought it looked good and interesting. The Mr. and Mrs. Smith trailer for the new Amazon Prime series. Did you, Miguel, you watch this trailer, I assume?
I did, a couple times. Yeah, I watched it when it came out. I watched it just tonight, you know?
So this has Donald Glover, who I initially thought was supposed to be Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Like, I thought she was involved in this.
That is correct. Yeah. But she dropped a while back.
Interesting. Because that would have been great. Not to say that Maya Erskine is any less. I am just not familiar with her.
I've seen her, and I want to say a couple things. I know for sure she was in... oh my God, the moment I started talking, I forgot about the name. Insecure. She was on Insecure for a season or two.
Yeah.
And she's pretty good, and I think she's totally a right fit for the character and with Donald Glover. Yeah. I was slightly disappointed that Phoebe Waller-Bridge wasn't this character. That just kind of like, to me, that's what kind of sold the product. Was like, oh, those two absolutely could. Like, if you're going to reboot Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, like, let's have two like pretty big names.
Yeah.
But now that she's subbed out, it's like, okay, maybe now it doesn't have to be the big name. Maybe now it has to like lie on its
story,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? What it's good at. So
I don't know about you, but I thought it looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's got a stacked cast. It's got Paul Dano, John Turturro, you know, and that's where that
that was a stacked cast.
That's enough, though. That's all
you do. You guys
need.
Want to see the rest of the cast, go to imdb.com.
Not a lot of people I instantly recognize. But anyway, that's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it. And that starts next year, Friday, February 2nd. Check out the trailer. It's fun.
Did you like the original movie?
I did a little bit, at least at the time. I haven't seen it in a long time, so...
I'll say this, before that show comes out, I'm definitely going to sit down and watch that movie again just to see like how much of
it fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was a pretty big deal. So I'm kind of down to see this. I think it looks like a lot of fun. Again, what really sold me was Donald Glover and Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I almost called her Filbert, sorry.
I'm stealing that name. That's my.
I will say this is... this is something I would give a shot. Maybe would watch an episode and depending on would wait until the rest of the season comes out, or maybe I'll watch week by week. Let's find out.
Yeah. See how it turns out. All right. Mm. So that brings us to the bigger trailer this week.
Man.
Civil War from Alex Garland, who people will know from last year's Men, Ex Machina, and some Black Mirror episodes. And so, yeah, this is his latest.
And 28 Days Later, wasn't it? Or 28 Weeks Later, he wrote one of those movies?
Maybe. I don't know.
100%.
So, IMDb has the following...
this is a stacked cast.
Oh. This is a stacked cast. But anyway, the film follows events in the U.S. during a civil war. Stop. Government forces attack civilians. Stop. Journalists are shot in the Capitol.
Stop.
No, really, stop.
Please.
please stop. Miguel, you have thoughts on this trailer?
Man, So you last week you shared the poster between our text thread.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, Civil War. They're in the Statue of Liberty, and it's like snipers facing opposite directions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, modern Civil War. You think of Handmaid's Tale. Is that it? Where like the country devolves, you know what I mean? In like a modern day setting, you know what I mean? So that's kind of what I was like, oh, okay, it's going to be something pretty wild. I don't know. I'm very torn because there were elements of the trailer that really hooked me. I was like, ooh, let me see more of this. And then there was other elements where I was kind of just like, I don't care about this. You know what I mean? I will say this. I mean, we need to straight away, we need to talk about the number one fact. Okay. The Civil War is between the United States of America and two states that are like trying to secede or they're going against the norm. And it's California and Texas.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like straight away we got lost in the sauce on what we were doing with this because I was very glad to see that not only did I feel this way, the internet felt this way. I showed Kristen the trailer earlier and that was like the first thing she said. and I was just kind of blown away because I don't think California and Texas would ever link up in a civil war against America. They're so total, like polar opposites.
Yeah. So let me tell you my quick thoughts. The main reason, like what drew me to that poster, and it was really more just a declaration that,
of independence,
Alex Garland was coming out with a new film. For me, he's like one of those directors, at least, you know, who I'll make an effort to go see in the theater because he's an interesting, like he did Ex Machina, and I love that movie. It's a great movie. Annihilation was a little ambiguous, but it was still very striking and interesting. And then I saw Men, and that was an experience. I won't see Men again, probably, but it was a lot. But this one, because it's a lot, it's more just like social commentary, no matter how metaphoric, or on the nose even, which some elements of this trailer feels like. But
yeah,
I want to see what the context is. Like, I feel like it's going to be
same.
It's pretty dark, and like while he might have used like I don't know caricatures of certain like the president and stuff like that, like the situations are going to be very real, and the context, especially of today, are going to be
that's what I mean. Real. Is I felt like watching the trailer, they don't give too much away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it feels very somewhat by the numbers, but I'm intrigued that those gray areas are going to actually be very intriguing.
That's what I mean. I feel like Alex Garland is one of those directors and writers.
Yeah.
Like the trailer for Men, I definitely envision. I envision something.
You saw weird. Something different?
Like a little bit. Like more like a traditional thriller. But like Annihilation was like weird as hell. It went way over my head for sure. So I mean, I'm a dummy, but the same with Men. Like I it lost me at certain points, but I try. But it's that's also the fun thing about Alex Garland is he provokes these kind of questions about what certain things mean and stuff like that. So. That's why I feel like the trailer, though in certain parts seems generic, I think there's a lot
there's
more.
Deeper. Yeah.
Yeah. And look at the cast, like Kirsten Dunst, Jesse Plemons, Nick Offerman. That's three.
I mean, you're pulling the words right out of my mouth. The second thing I wanted to talk about, like the reason why I keep watching this trailer over and over again is because Jesse Plemons shows up and he has like the dope moment of the trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, let me watch that one more time. Run it back. Okay. Yeah, because, ooh-wee. And that, Ed, I'm sure you'll be not surprised to hear, but Jesse Plemons is like the actor. You know what I mean? Like every time he shows up, it's not just us, you and me. Like the internet talks about Jesse Plemons every time.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, he's been someone that like the first time I saw him was Breaking Bad, but ever since then, it's like he seems to only come out with some hits. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fargo season 2. Him and Kirsten Dunst did The Power of the Dog recently. And they both got like nominated for
Oscars. Wow, I forgot about that shit.
Yeah.
Dang, dude. They're working.
This is like they're like a subtle power couple.
Couple, right?
Yeah, like it's not like a song and dance. They just come in and just rock that shit.
No, yeah, absolutely. They're like salt of the earth. Like I want to see what they're doing. I do have some predictions. I feel like Kirsten Dunst's character, like she either gets sidelined or gets killed at some point in this movie because she's in like a big chunk of the first half or more of the trailer. And then all of a sudden they shift the focus of the two characters to the I don't know who they are, the dad and the daughter or whoever they are. So I'm assuming at some point she disappears.
Maybe. Or they might just have two parallel storylines.
Things going on. They go down separate paths.
Yeah.
But the third thing that really made me watch this trailer again was the fact that Nick Offerman seems to be playing the president, a third term president, which when I asked the question about California and Texas, I assume that has something to do with it. The fact that a president is like, I'm still the president. But there's a one shot specifically where he's reciting the American pledge, you know, like one nation under God, you know, with liberty and justice for all or whatever. Yeah. And they cut to the shot of the Oval Office where he's like, they're dragging him out of the Oval Office. And that to me kind of shook me because it's like, you can't touch the president. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's 45 million people in between you and the president who are willing to like shoot you dead before you get close. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and absolutely. I don't know why, like that shot of them dragging him out of there, I was like, whoa, I'm interested to see how that happens.
There's some very significant imagery throughout the trailer, like the Lincoln Memorial getting blown up and shit like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be provoking for sure.
Yeah, this is one that I definitely want to see. And I don't have any clue on how I'm going to feel about it. You know what I mean?
This is a big deal, too, because it's Alex Garland.
Yep.
It's being produced, you know, it's an A24 film.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it has a pretty big budget, and they're actually promoting it for IMAX, too.
So I want to say, back me up if you heard this, like A24 recently was saying they want to do action movies, like they want to expand their box office potential or whatever.
Yeah.
And
I guess this is the idea of that.
This is that. And which is like, again, something like, look, you take a whole step back, you're going to see an A24 movie, whether it's in theaters or you rent it or you stream it, whatever. Yeah. Like you and I are going to watch an A24 movie.
Exactly. It carries a bit of weight.
Exactly. So if A24 goes, I'm going to make an action movie, and then the very next thing comes out is this like Civil War shoot 'em up type thing. Okay. I already assume it's going to be intriguing and I want to give it a chance. This is going to be like the litmus test on if they can do it or what, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I was charged up on this. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great. That movie, Civil War comes out April 26th, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little later. That's just expected as of now. All right. So, Miguel.
Ed, listen.
We're getting into our feature discussion, man. Do you want to hold off on the holdovers until Luis is present? Because
I want to talk about that one. I don't want to talk about this next one.
The Golden Globes.
Man.
I don't want to skip it.
I'm more so just saying, man, you know me, I'm not like the awards ceremonies guy. I like watching the Oscars, but I'm not going to do the whole season. You know what I mean?
This is the Golden Globes, so like the fact that we're even giving it the
Ricky
time
Gervais,
of day.
He hosts these. So how about this? You want a vibe? How about we go category by category for like the top three or five? And
I want to hear your predictions as of now.
Yeah, as someone who's seen them or not seen them, I'll give you my...
Yeah, and then if there's like a mission that stands out to you...
I got you, bro.
Shout out,
baby. I got you. Yeah,
right,
man.
Let's dive into it. Best motion picture drama. Man, it's like mostly movies that people have just been talking about all year.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's the list.
That's the list. And then we'll get into the musical comedies, but basically it's Anatomy of a Fall, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, and The Zone of Interest.
Listen, as someone who has not seen all these movies, have you seen all of them?
I haven't seen two. Okay. I haven't seen Past Lives or Zone of Interest yet.
Okay, so four out of six you've seen. I've seen two out of the six.
Nice.
I mean, I think it's going to come down to Killers of the Flower Moon or Oppenheimer, right?
Yeah. I'm going to go... On this one, for Golden Globes specifically, I think we're going to give it to Killers of the Flower Moon.
Because Golden Globes are kind of like the popularity contest.
It's exactly what that is, Miguel.
Okay, so this is mine. Actually, I should pay more attention to the Golden Globes. I should actually be like, guys, the Golden Globes are out.
It's like everybody's been turning this down, but Miguel will host this.
I'll suck off a globe so hard. Okay. I would say Killers of the Flower Moon. Just because it's a vibe, dude.
For sure. Okay, so musical or comedy, everybody's favorite category.
Now I feel bad Luis is in here. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Air, American Fiction, Barbie, The Holdovers, May, December, Poor Things. Miguel, we'll talk about this movie a little bit more later on, but it is hilarious to me, and I think a lot of this movie went over my head, but May, December, I watched this the other day. It did not strike me as a comedy, and definitely not as a musical.
I will say, I have been hearing discourse about this on the internet, okay? Okay. And understanding the plot, the story of this movie, I'm like, oh, okay, that doesn't strike me as something that is like organically a comedy. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But like, I have seen tweets that are like, it's so dumb this got nominated for a comedy. There's only like one or two funny bits. And then there were some people that were like, well, I saw this in the theater and people were like cracking up, laughing, watching.
Yeah.
So it depends on where did you watch it, in the theaters or at home on Netflix, right? And maybe that colors your opinion on it.
And what was your expectations of it going in? You know,
yeah, place? I never would have called that a comedy just on the plot synopsis. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's interesting, Miguel. We were talking about popularity. I was just like, it's got to be Barbie, right?
It's got to be Barbie. But I will say this: I would like wholeheartedly give it to The Holdovers as well. You know,
I'm getting I'm getting that feeling.
I think both of these, of all of these movies, Poor Things is that
Emma Stone movie. I think that
with Yargo or whatever. I think that is also very popular.
Yeah.
Those are the three for me that I would just like, you know, just pick out of the zeitgeist because those are being talked about. Barbie seems like the strongest one though.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So this next one, we don't have to get into all of it, but like, I was bummed to see that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles wasn't nominated for Best Animated.
Oh, man. And Wish was. Ooh.
Wish, and I'm sorry, and the Super Mario Brothers movie, and Elemental.
Oh, all of those movies.
Personally.
I hear
I'm just
you.
Saying, there's room. I don't know what Suzumi is. Go ahead.
No. I'm not trying to stomp on you. I would have gotten rid of Wish. You know what I mean? Just,
yes.
That absolutely would have been the easy one. I think you can't argue that Super Mario Bros. And what was it? Elemental, you just said?
Yeah.
What did you say? Yeah, I mean, those two were Elemental. Those were big. you know what I mean, animated movies of the year. I mean, Elemental, I've seen like 4 or 5 times now. Wow. Super Mario Brothers, I've seen 4 or 5 times now because my son loves them. And I'm not trying to say my son is the voice of the American children, but think those two were very popular. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, I mean, I watched that quite a lot.
Yeah.
And a couple of these others, like The Boy and the Heron, it's like, maybe I haven't seen it yet, but the internet's talking about it. People are talking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Robert Pattinson's about to get like recognition for that movie. Not necessarily an award, but the internet is talking about him.
Because he's a voice in it?
Yeah, he plays the bird in that movie. Have you not seen this?
No. Well, I knew...
Not me knowing something Ed doesn't know. Yeah, okay.
They did the announcement of like the cast. I just forgot that he was.
This is his first voice acting role, and the internet is praising him because like he basically came prepared, like a really good actor would. You know what I mean? He like came with like homework and was ready to go. They filmed it. They filmed all of his things in 2 days, or recorded all of it in 2 days.
That's awesome.
And he basically like the internet was basically saying, there was like no notes when he came in to record. They were like, yes, this is the version of that character, the American version of that character. Yeah. The English speaking version.
Okay.
I'm showing my prejudice. In the Civil War, I would shoot. No. I would get rid of Wish. I mean, these other movies, I'm kind of behind. And I don't want to overtalk it. So, Ed. You're the boss. Sure. Go ahead.
All right, let's talk about the stupid category that they shimmied in here. The Oscars were talking about doing this too. Cinematic and box office achievement.
CABOA.
Whatever that means. Yeah.
Bacoba.
Bacoba. Coboa.
Coboa. That's it.
Man, so I don't know exactly what this is to saying, like, the movie that made the most money.
Oh, wow. I'm just reading the list.
I'm just like, this is just sad. But it's basically, again, the popularity contest. So the nominees, quote unquote. And Miguel, I'm going to tell you, man, the winner is the first one, Barbie. Like, I'd be willing to bet that that's the movie that wins it.
I don't know. That one year, Luis talked about it before. That one year, what was it, Ed, where they did I can't even remember what they called it. Where, oh my God, I'm blanking on it now. It was like a popularity contest already in like the Oscars or whatever, where some moment, it was like Zack Snyder's Justice League won some big moment.
It was like, like best cinematic scene, and
this is that. This is like now the categories are a little more for the people,
right? Yeah, it's turning into the MTV Awards.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. So Barbie.
Yeah, I think just like it made the most money. It was the hottest trending thing all summer. Like, I don't know.
I mean, all of these on this list are pretty big. I mean, it's like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, John Wick, Chapter 4, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. You know what I mean? Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, sequel. Obviously, the Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour is going to win this one. Okay?
Don't even mention it. Miguel, I don't know about you, but I feel like this year is going to be the year of Christopher Nolan, and I think he's going to sweep the directing awards.
Ooh, Ed, baby, listen. Even I don't know where you. I don't have the notes in front of me. Okay. I'll tell you this on a vibe alone. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Let me see Christopher Nolan get that best director.
Oh, baby, I'm ready for it. You know, maybe Oppenheimer could win Best Picture, but I think Killers of the Moon has more of a chance of winning Best Picture.
And Christopher Nolan getting Best Director, Luis. Jump in here, okay? Best producer,
Luis.
I'm jumping in. What are we talking about?
Golden Globes, baby.
Calling it right now, Luis. This is going to be the year of Christopher Nolan winning Best Director.
Across the board. I'm here with you. I think that's what's going to happen. This is the year he's getting everything.
All right, guys. Every time that Christopher Nolan from here on out wins an award for best director, we're going to take a shot on the next podcast.
Okay.
Wait, what do you mean? Yep. Like for every award, like the DGA, the Golden Globes?
Yeah, exactly.
If Nolan's name is attached.
Yeah, from every award show going forward.
We're getting lit.
Getting lit. Wherever you are, take a shot.
Listen, we've talked about my opinion on Oppenheimer already. And even though I have those opinions, I still think that he is in place to win. You know what I mean? I think there is a strong campaign for him to win those awards. I'll say this.
You guys remember when Leonardo DiCaprio won Best Actor for The Revenant, okay?
Yes.
I personally did not think that was the role, okay? Right. But you can sit there and point to Leonardo DiCaprio as a great actor and you go, he deserves it. Absolutely give it to him. I'm okay with it. If Christopher Nolan wins that, it'll be kind of a similar vibe. Like, he's done so much. Absolutely give him an award. But I also think he deserves it for this one.
Yeah.
This is the one. If this is the one, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
No, I want him to be it.
And I mean, similarly, people have said the same thing about Martin Scorsese and The Departed. You know, should have won sooner, absolutely. He should have three in his pocket at least. He won for The Departed, but that was a worthy film. That was a great film.
It was.
I agree. I like Luis, do you think you're going to give Oppenheimer another go before end of the year lists?
I definitely am. I'm going to give it another shot. Good. I'm going to give it another chance.
Good. I just rewatched it. Via Plex.
Let's watch it on the projector when we get together next week, okay?
For the sleepover?
Yeah, no, I don't know about that. Maybe we watch something else. I don't know if I want to dedicate that I don't want to dedicate those hours to doing
125 inches, though, that dick.
I got some other movies I want to watch with you.
Fair enough.
Yeah. One of those movies, like, oh, that wasn't like in my at least it wasn't top of mind, and then I feel like it's just getting more and more attention.
It's definitely a conversation starter. It's one that I was able to watch over the weekend, but it's been picking up steam, especially with the cast. It's a good little ensemble, but we'll get more into that later. We were saying it's going to be the year of Christopher Nolan, I think, for director. What about some acting categories? You guys any predictions? And Luis, we were trying to keep in mind, like, you know, this is the Golden Globes, so it's very much the popularity contest of the award season. So they might not necessarily pick the, anyway, I digress, but... You know,
cool.
Keep that in mind. But like, you know, all right, I guess I'm going to point to you for a category and you say, like...
Point to me, Ed.
I'm pointing at you, Miguel. I want to talk... Best actor. Best actor.
Best actor in a motion picture drama. Okay? I mean, if I could just read the category real quick, it's Andrew Scott, All of Us Strangers, Barry Keoghan, Saltburn, Bradley Cooper, Maestro, Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer, and Coleman Domingo, Rustin, Leonardo DiCaprio, Killers of the Flower Moon. Man, I got to say, it's got to come down. I said it already. It's got to come down to Killers of the Flower Moon and Oppenheimer. I do think this. Cillian Murphy. This is the win. I think that will please everybody. Cillian Murphy taking best actor. I'm more so projecting for the Oscars, but for Golden Globes, if we want to sweep, you know what I mean, the awards category, it's him.
Yeah.
I will say this. My personal favorite was Leonardo DiCaprio, Killers of the Flower Moon. I really enjoyed his performance in this movie, and I really enjoyed his performance in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I know I talk about it all the time, but like those two, these were clearly like one the movies best, he could have earned it. He one of some of his best work. So
yeah, absolutely.
What about you? Sorry, you,
Man, I'll be honest. Apart from Andrew Scott, because I haven't seen that movie yet, though I do want to. Because I've heard nothing but great things. But I honestly, Miguel, would not be mad if any one of those actors won. Because I love Barry Keoghan in Saltburn. Wow. Bradley Cooper, I just saw Maestro this weekend, and I thought he was terrific. And I'll get more into that later, too. Cillian Murphy, obviously, carried Oppenheimer. Like, it was an internal performance, but it was a really good one. And like you said, it's just feels like
the one moment. Yeah.
Colman Domingo, for a while, was kind of like a front runner, but I don't think enough people are checking out Rustin on Netflix. But he also gave a really good performance. Me and Luis talked about that movie last
week. Ed, that, you know, you were talking about it last week, and then I heard all the Golden Globe nominees. And I was like, hey, Ed was on top of that shit. You know what I mean?
He
called it out. He was like, check him out.
Yep. My finger's on the pulse.
Finger on the pulse.
And then, yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio, for all the reasons you said, Miguel, it's just like, it is one of his best performances. I think, like, they're going to push hard for Lily Gladstone in that department.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is, like, if Killers only gets Lily Gladstone, then my life is complete. Okay.
I think she's going to win. And I feel like they've, like, around LA, I've been seeing, they took down posters, or at least where I'm driving, they took down the poster of Killers of the Flower Moon with the whole cast, and they just put up Lily Gladstone as the main thing.
She's so good.
Yeah.
Good.
Sorry.
Awesome. Well, Luis, do you have any thoughts on Best Actor?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Last week we were talking about Iron Claw, and Zac Efron should be nominated, and so he would be one of my snubs for not being nominated for Best Actor.
Man, did it not get any nominations?
I don't think so. I think it might be hit the blind spot in a lot of people, which is going to be unfortunate.
Interesting.
So we'll just see how the Oscars, once you see those nominations.
Nothing but great things about Iron Claw.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I know you saw Maestro, which we'll talk about later, but do you think that those, rightfully so, that their nominations are getting picked up for Golden Globes?
Yes.
Okay.
I was just telling Miguel, like, I would be happy with, I haven't seen all of Us Strangers yet, but I would be happy with any one of those, the rest of the actors winning, honestly.
Okay.
Bradley Cooper, I think he's generally fine, but like in Maestro, it's transcendent. It's like a completely different person. He really commits to it.
Okay.
And I'm excited to talk about that one. But I do think maybe Cillian Murphy has it in the bag.
Yeah.
Personally.
Maybe. Okay.
All right. So do we all agree that Lily Gladstone will get actress?
Yes.
That's who I want.
Exactly.
I'm also thinking here, I was thinking about on my drive to work. Next year is going to be our 2-year anniversary. All right. It's crazy. And I thought, what a beautiful way to celebrate our 2-year anniversary by doing the first annual Punchies, where we come up with our movie of the year, actor of the year, or whatever. I didn't tell you guys this earlier. This is coming in hot, but we can brainstorm about it later. But I feel like just get it in your mind. Like maybe we can start coming up with giving out our own little awards.
No, I'm down. I'm down.
I already have the blueprints.
Yeah, because you have the Eddies. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Eddies. at my work computer, once a year, I just start handing out the awards to myself at the table. And Best Picture was Everything Everywhere All at Once. So
I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize to your IT person at work who's like, is he ever working?
Just like, what is he doing right now?
No, hang on, guys, gather around. He's giving himself an award.
The Batman? What?
Oh man. Anyway. Dude, Luis, I was saying this earlier. I hate award season, man. This is like my least favorite.
That is not what you said earlier. No. That is not what you said earlier.
I hate Ed. I hate this show. No. Okay. No. No, no. I don't know what it is. Like,
it mainly is. Do you feel a lot of pressure?
It's the pressure. Like, I'm like, yeah. I have to watch all of these right now.
And there are a lot of movies. It cranks up real fast, you know? Yeah. And, like, in November or in October, November, I was like, oh, we're fine. Nothing is coming out. In fact, we had issues of trying to figure out what to review on the show. And now there's much. They just turned the fire hydrant on, blowing us with all these movies. Like,
and we've been talking about this. We've been talking about this subscription service all year long where I can go see all these movies. But now it's the holidays and I'm like, I don't have time to see any movies. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I am traveling right now, you know?
I would say this though. Take some, you know, pride in that, well, you know, or some comfort in the fact that the three of the biggest front runners of the whole season
you've seen already
Oppenheimer, Barbie, and then Killers of the Flower Moon. Like, you already knocked that out. So even if you go to the Oscars not having seen any more, like, obviously you saw the holdovers, but like, you're gonna see, you've seen the winner in some major categories.
You've heard
in major
first.
Categories, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be like, yeah, you guys, I knew.
He was on the pulse, finger on the pulse.
So yeah. Anyway, are there any other specific categories anyone wants to talk about? Supporting TV? Is there any TV nominations?
Succession and the Bear is going to win everything, right? That's pretty much.
Same thing down. I don't want the Bear to win everything, but it will.
I feel like that's...
You know what? My only wish of the whole Golden Globes, my only wish is that Hannah Waddingham wins Supporting Actress for Ted Lasso. And then I'll be happy.
What's her name?
That woman's sorry. Hannah Waddingham. She was the tall blonde.
Oh, right.
The Boss.
Man. Can I talk about Best Television Comedy, Musical Comedy for a minute?
Yes.
I see the Bear is here. I do agree. The Bear is the one that's going to win. But this is, we don't talk about television enough. This is a stacked category right now. Best Television Musical Comedy. Abbott Elementary, Barry, which was the final season. The Bear, Jury Duty, Only Murders in the Building, and Ted Lasso, the final season. I mean, that's a pretty stacked category.
Yeah. No, it is. And that, I love that last season of Ted Lasso.
And Barry was really good, but it was also not funny. It was like drama. Like, to say it wasn't like, oh, it wasn't.
But they're also like, this is the category you could potentially catch that award. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Like,
exactly. It would just be very odd.
That's what it has been in the past.
Abbott Elementary suffered a slower season, shorter season, excuse me, because of the strikes. So this is not like a full.
But Abbott Elementary,
it's a great show. Oh, you're totally
Emmys.
Right.
It won an Emmy, not Golden Globe. Maybe.
Oh, that's you're right. Thinking. But it could. I'm just saying, this is the content that could do it, but not necessarily this season. So even though I know the Bear is going to get it, I do think it's a pretty stacked category. Jury Duty, Only Murders in the Building. I mean, we've talked about the three of them hosting the Oscars. Like, that's good content right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, that's that.
Nice.
I'm gonna calm down. I'm gonna catch my breath.
I came in a little late, so I don't know where we're at, but you know, I feel like if we covered everything, then we covered it all.
That's it. You know, what a good
episode, everybody. Let's go. We'll see you next week. I'm just kidding.
All right, thanks. It's been me, Ed Ball, and with me.
No. No. I watched this movie. We have to talk about it.
Okay, so yeah, Miguel wants to talk about the holdovers, even though I talked about it 4 weeks ago. Whatever.
Okay. All right. You know, I have to watch it today.
Listen, when I programmed this week's episode, I didn't realize the Golden Globes nominations were being dropped. So I was like, I got to find something. Let's talk about the holdovers.
Yeah.
And then these dropped, and I was like, well, now we'll do both.
Yeah.
Well, we can skip it. We can talk about the 17 things that Ed watched.
Well, it's technically been what you've been into, Miguel. So let's talk about it. And I've seen it, so I could give you feedback. But you clearly liked it.
I mean, yeah, there's really nothing to say. So we watched The Holdovers this week because I was asked to, but also because I really wanted to, and it was good. I watched it today. What a solid movie. Kind of like instant holiday classic. You know what I mean? I constantly am telling my wife, like, they just don't make movies like this anymore. And this is one of those movies. I've said this a lot this year, but when I watched Oppenheimer in the theaters, there was like a list of trailers that played beforehand, mm-hmm. and every single one of them smacked for me. And The Holdovers was one of them. So I was really looking forward to this movie. Solid performances all around. It went in directions I wasn't quite expecting, but at the end I looked back and I was like, oh, that was totally where it was going.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, comfort. I don't want to overtalk
like,
it.
It's like
comfort, no, nostalgia, but
a nice
not,
warm hug,
you know?
Of a movie. The characters, yes. Like, just well-drawn characters, great performances. Mm-hmm. Paul Giamatti is great. Like,
if we don't want to overtalk it, there was just like moments that I loved.
No, let's talk about it. It's okay.
I just feel so bad.
And no, Louise, I want to talk about it too. This was I saw it this week for the first time as well. It was a very recent viewing for me. Speaking about cozy, I remember you talking about that last time, and I was trying to like bring it into words. And what it really does nicely, it has these like long picturesque shots when people are just kind of walking, and looking at that is just comforting. Just seeing like things in the snow, slow tempo.
You live with those characters.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like, you know, in the holidays, people put on a nice fire crackle on the TV because they can't afford a fireplace. So they actually put it on the TV. Yeah. It's kind of that situation where, you know, you put on this movie and you just have nice vistas, snow falling with this folk soothing music happening. And it's like, it is a nice warm hug because it's taking its time. Miguel's talking about how they don't make movies these days. It's true. Everything is just so cut fast, cut happy.
Yeah.
Here we're like sitting with these characters. We are just sitting with these moments. And I think the whole thing was shaped to be comfortable. Again, long shots, folksy music.
Just done
man,
well.
Paul Giamatti is just a grinch of a man.
It's a road trip movie.
Man, it shifts like halfway through into a road trip movie. And you're like, I remember I got halfway through the movie. I paused for something. I came back to it. And I was like, wow, there's so much left here to go. What are they going to do? And it was a road trip movie.
It treats itself almost like you know, books do, and I would say even, I don't know, it's kind of like a quasi mini epic, because you have these moments where the Holdovers are these cast of people, like, oh, here's our quirky cast of people we're going to be staying with through the whole movie, and then they're gone. That's end with that chapter, and now we have these three people bonding, and then it becomes a road trip movie. And then it becomes into something else. And so it really does evolve. But it's kind of like a simple, effective story. You know, if you just kind of see how these characters play on to the next beat, to the next beat, to the next beat. And I don't know. It's good storytelling.
It pays off.
Like, it pays off.
It's satisfying.
Absolutely.
And it gives you just the right amount. Like, just spoilers, everyone. But like when they say goodbye to one another at the end.
Oh man, what a great scene.
And it was very poignant for me at the when I saw it, them talking about his father. He's just like, you don't have to be your father. Like, it hits home. And again, just so effectively done, so delicately done by Paul Giamatti, man. Like, it's almost a shame, but it's such a stacked year, because I would love to see him get his dues, man. Like, we're talking about, you talk about those kind of career awards, like Paul Giamatti, I think, is like
but if he won on this one, you would go,
I'd be a little
so deserved.
I cut out. No. I was kidding, but he, like, with the other ones, like we were talking about earlier, Leonardo DiCaprio, Cillian Murphy, Barry Keoghan, like, It's such a stacked year, and I would be happy for any one of them to win, including Paul Giamatti.
I would say, yeah. Honestly, Cillian Murphy, Paul Giamatti, Leonardo DiCaprio, Barry Keoghan. That's my list.
Wow. I haven't seen Salper. Now that makes me want to see it so I can kind of like compare. I'll do it. I want to.
And then people obviously talking about Jeffrey Wright, but like... Leo DiCaprio. What was the other one? Bradley Cooper.
I'm gonna have to see. There are two funny quotes that I liked from this movie. One of them is that they're at a Christmas party and the janitor gives a gift to the lady. What's her name? The one who cooks.
Mary, is that her name?
She's phenomenal. And she's she so says, good. "Oh, you didn't really have to do that." And then
she's
he responds,
"Probably gonna get the Oscar this year too."
And then he responds, "Ain't got nothing to do but pay taxes and die." And yeah, I just laughed out loud. I was like, "What a quote! That's true. I ain't got nothing to do but pay taxes and die." So that was a good line. Yeah. And then Paul Giamatti, near the end of the movie, he called the principal. He's like, "You are penis skin." Or something like that.
No, penis cancer. Yeah.
Oh, penis cancer. Okay, there you go. Yeah. Thank you.
That dude, that cracked me up. No, I mean, the whole final act I thought was beautiful. There were some really great moments. I mean, that was where the movie, like, I had to stop what I was doing and just watch, you know, and for very extended periods of time. When he sees his dad and he's telling him, and you could tell he's lying to his dad so he can like brag and be happy and just like share a moment. And then the dad like devolves into his mental illness. And then they cut to them back in the taxi and he's staring out of the cab window. And I mean, I was just sitting there going like, oh my God, it's breaking my heart, the fact that he like can't connect with his father in this way. Mm-hmm. And to take a step back, like talking about like a movie being a movie, like they do kind of tropey things there. Like, right. He comes back and he's like, "You're more than your dad. You're more than this thing. You know, I'm a role model." But those moments aren't played cheaply.
So like they don't cheapen the emotions. They're very honest. No, do you know what I mean? So you're allowed to be those.
I've been watching this movie for this entire time, and when they say those things, I'm just like, yes, this is the moment.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this movie.
One scene that sung to me was the at the same Christmas party where Devin Joy Randolph, I think
that's right.
I just had it. She gets a little drunk and then has that little breakdown in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Devastating.
They shut the door, you know?
Yeah.
A storyline that you kind of, I don't know, you don't realize, oh, we're dealing with this right now. She's still dealing with it, and she gets her arc throughout the movie.
Yeah, and she gets to take her baby shoes to her sister for her kid.
When it becomes the three characters, it's like, okay, I am locked in, like, let's go, because we were saying earlier, it does feel like one type of movie in the first act. When they decide to go, no, it's beyond that. I mean, that was when I was like, I have to pay attention right now, this is so good.
And that actor, they were location scouting and they found this school to do it at. And they said, "We're looking for a kid. Hey, let's look into the drama department, see what kind of actors they have there." And they found this guy and they were able to like pull him in to play that role in this movie. And I was like, wow, these are all kind of great performers, great moments.
A little bit of trivia. Yeah.
We talked about like the final scene where they say goodbye to each other for the final time. But there was something about the way, and this might have been the direction of the movie, but there was something about the way where Paul Giamatti has made this sacrifice as a teacher. Like, I'm losing my job for the student to keep him on. And they have this moment and you kind of expect it to go like, thank you so much for fucking saving my thing. But instead he goes, they have this kind of tender moment and he goes, anyway, see ya. And he like runs off into the field. You know what I mean? Yes, yeah. And there was something so kind of like juvenile about that response that it's just like, he kind of understands this is a big deal, but he's also like this dipshit youngling.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's just like, okay, bye. And then Paul Giamatti being like, all right, see you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That just, that really spoke to me. I just loved that yeah. moment of the movie.
It's got a lot of nice touches throughout. It's, and then, yeah, the whole, it's not like shoving Christmas in your face, but it's just a Christmas feeling.
It's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, the whole build up. And then the first, like, they have fun with it at the beginning with all the other kids, too.
Yeah.
You know? Just mm-hmm. like bouncing the kids
no,
off.
No, you and think then you you're think about it's to get this, like, ensemble. Way. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. yeah, yeah. It's going to be, like, the whole class of kids that win the teacher over or whatever. But no, yeah, it kind of narrows down. But I like it,
the
yeah.
range of kids that they picked, too, where. It wasn't just the older kids. It was also these kind of like two younger kids. And I like that dynamic of having.
Like levels. Yeah. Levels. Yeah. yeah. Like it was unexpected because it was like, oh, these are like children. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Luis, I mean, whatever. You talked about going to like a private school or whatever where mm-hmm. you were in 12th grade and like your youngest oh, right. cousin or whatever was, you know, in the bottom grade. And it's like there is that dynamic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. yeah.
Of life. The kid has like he has a nightmare and he wets his bed. And then the guy is like, hey, just fucking stop crying, okay? Like I don't, you know. And then there's you feel like there's this like touching moment when you have like yeah.
Yeah. There are tender moments when you have like older kids mentoring younger kids, or younger kids dealing with the pressure of older kids trying to be cool and trying to step up.
Yeah,
but they're
yeah.
still young and they still don't know. And then older kids trying to act like they know better. It's just a fun dynamic of having all of those things to play out. And then, yeah, they leave and then we just get to focus and concentrate on these three characters going through their journey. And it is kind of yeah. like, it follows a hero's journey, especially for Paul Giamatti's character. Like it's freeing that he finally gets to leave that school and.
Yeah.
Get out of his comfort and explore.
Right. Yeah. Spice up
I don't
life.
Know if it's going to win a lot of awards because it's so.
I don't think so.
I think it'll get the nominations.
Yeah.
I guarantee now that Devine Joy Randolph will win.
For supporting.
Best. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I think she's the one to beat. So.
Who?
What yeah. category is she in?
Supporting actress.
Sorry, I'm scrolling while we're talking.
Let me look at my notes here. But yeah, I think it will have a presence, but I don't think it's going to be as much as a comfort nomination as it is, you know, a comfort movie. And like, not to detract from that, I just think it's just a testament.
Oh man, she's in this Emily Blunt category. I want Emily Blunt to get it because I thought tough. She was amazing. That's a tough one, but I see what you're saying, and she was really good. I mean, like I said, when it came down to those three characters, that was when I was like honed into the story. This is like a holiday. Like I said, I would throw this in the rotation of Christmas movies every year.
Nice.
I would be yeah. glad to watch it
oh, yeah.
multiple times.
Oh, Thanksgiving. It's got that kind of vibes
Ooh,
too.
Kind of like an in between. Yeah.
I just
baby.
Ate a bunch of turkey. I want to watch Paul Giamatti. yeah.
Imagine my eyes did that.
I don't know how he does that. I try to look online how he did that, and I feel like there isn't an answer.
That's got to be like CGI or whatever, right?
Well, I don't think anyone's confirmed if it's CGI or if he's just doing it with his eye or if they put a glass eye in his eye. And it drifts. It changes. It changes. I feel like at one point, this one's meandering, and then at one point, the other one's meandering.
With respect.
And then when he tells you which one it is, you're like, no, it's not.
No. With now, you guys remember in The Force Awakens they pan to like the pierogi or whatever it's called and the little pierogi. Penguin the little penguin thing whatever like the little fucking
and The Last Jedi you mean
The Last what, Jedi okay.
oh fucking my bad okay nerds.
I think it's called a porg
a yeah. pierogi where he's like my it's like his eyes yeah. like jot out like that's yeah. what's happening with Paul Giamatti yeah come on he basically yeah. says that at one point in the movie no nice. I'm into this one I couldn't oh, believe yeah. how much I was paying attention to it throughout the day today
okay.
so
that's nice. All we can ask for
yeah I yeah
no, I get pay it attention to a movie
yeah, you're welcome.
All right.
Okay, so Luis, Ed, Luis and Miguel haven't watched anything this week, but Ed, you watched it all.
You watch it all for us.
I watch it for you guys, you know. I'll cancel out a couple of these things, like Lovers One, I won't talk about because it just made me...
Thank you.
You know, upset. What?
I'm doing that cat meme. Do you know what I'm talking about? Huh?
No.
Huh? You don't know what I'm talking about?
No,
Miguel, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay.
You have to never see that meme?
Where the cat?
I mean, maybe if you send it to me.
Oh.
Pull it up. Okay. Pull it up.
I know we're gonna pull. We can't pull it up right
just,
now.
Okay? Yeah, just keep going. Yeah, just keep going.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
After this, stop. I'm not gonna carry on if you're gonna keep doing that fucking sound. That's for sure. Oh. You can't. we'll talk about it later. Anyway, so aside from that, basically everything is brought to you by Netflix this week. To wrap it up, I watched the first part of season 6 of The Crown. I think the new season's coming out the second part is coming out tomorrow, in fact, or Friday. As in Thursday,
as
when
in
you're listening
today.
To this, as in today. And then, Luis, have you been keeping up with the Great British Baking Show?
Yeah, I'm on episode 2.
Bake Off.
Oh, man, you haven't watched it then. Okay, I won't spoil it.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, it's fun. Anyway, we wrap that up. All right,
we
so
can talk
the
about
main...
the new host. We can talk about the new host.
Yeah,
Matt
what do you think of her?
I like her. Yeah, she's fine. I think she's warming fun. Up to everything. I still feel like she's getting used
she'll
to.
She'll find her feet, but she's a laugh. I think. Yeah. And she says pastry's funny. So,
patisserie.
<know. laughs> But it's no, she's cool. She has a great interview with Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford from the Blade Runner 20.
Oh, she's the host of this show.
Yeah. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yes!
Yeah,
I don't know what that is. What happened in the interview?
Send it to Luis.
They're just having a laugh riot. Like,
oh, man, Luis, I can't believe you haven't seen that one.
No, maybe I have. I just don't remember.
It's solid content.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's just like one of those rare...
I'll watch it after this.
...interviews where everybody's just cracking
having a good
up.
Time.
It's great.
Okay, cool.
She's fun. Enjoy the rest of it, I guess. All right, so the main discussion for this week, I kind of alluded to this earlier, May December, the recently nominated comedy at the Golden Globes. Going into it, I didn't expect it to be a comedy based on the trailers and everything I'd read about it. And then I saw it being advertised as a dark comedy.
Okay.
Unless it like just went over my head, I didn't think it was very funny. it does make some like interesting and funny choices. And
did you ever blow air out of your nose?
What?
Did you ever blow air out of your nose? Like,
yeah, I did. Like a little,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my jaw dropped at one point, but yeah, I wouldn't define it as a comedy. But anyway, so this is an interesting one. It's like about Natalie Portman's character is doing research for a movie she's in about this couple, Julianne Moore and the young guy, the young hunk. Who they had an affair when he was in 7th grade, and she was like obviously in her 30s or something, and then like she got pregnant and she was in prison while she was pregnant and gave birth and all of that, and they stayed together all this time, and now they're making
hilarious.
A movie about it. And
sorry, just real quick, Luis, do you know the real news story of this, or are you just like nodding your head on this? You haven't seen it on TikTok yet.
There's a news story about this movie.
I feel
the real life person that this happened to.
This movie is a fictional movie.
Was this based on a... Yeah, I thought this was fictional.
Guys. Oh, no.
Okay, so now you're bringing it... Hold on. What's happening? So this movie is based on real life events?
So hold on. I'm going to make sure I Google the right person. Kind
of, I took it as the kind of just like a...
Mary Kay Letourneau.
A general idea of what that kind of relationship would be.
Okay, this is a real person.
Yeah.
She had sex with like a third grader or whatever and acted like it was no big deal. And she went to jail for like 7 years. And when she got out, they got married.
Oh.
I'm trying to look her up now.
And it looks like Mary Kay dead too, right?
She is dead now. She has died.
Oh, okay. Well, that is...
Oh, Ed, is this the movie?
This is what the movie is referencing. Like, okay. It's not necessarily like a actual biopic. A one-to-one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this is what they're talking about. Like,
so Natalie Portman is doing studies about these people who are based off of this story.
Real, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, so she's like kind of going like really... I don't know, method about it. She's like mimicking all of Julianne Moore's mannerisms, and the reason why they let her into their lives is to kind of, you know, sugarcoat or kind of give their perspective on the story and tell the story honestly in their point of view. But like, as she kind of pokes and prods, things start to unravel, and you know, the guy, I think his name is Joe, you know, he's just kind of this like hollow shell of a character,
mm-hmm.
who, like, the way he acts is what you, like, as kids, you kind of picture dad's acting like. You know what I mean? Like, he has a beer, he cooks at the grill, he wears these kind of overly large, like, Hawaiian shirts or t-shirts or, you know, golf shorts and shit like that. Like, he's never smoked weed before, but his kids do, kind of deal. So he's like a very like fragile, immature human being who's just trying to make the most out of the situation. It's kind of tragic, honestly, and it really comes to, I don't know. They just kind of, it's a weird examination of that situation, and then just like acting and how actors will take people's lives and, you know, twist it or however, and also going into such dark territory is like, where's the moral line here, kind of thing? Because like Natalie Portman's character goes so hard into it, you know, it's creepy, you know, in a way.
She like
manipulative. Oh, okay. She's kind of like flirting with the guy, but she's like slowly introducing certain mannerisms about Julianne Moore's character throughout the movie, until she, to this like really great scene, but kind of steals the movie with Natalie Portman kind of like talking, acting to a mirror of this letter she found that Julianne Moore character had written the guy from prison. And it's just this incredible monologue of her imitating Julianne Moore's character.
Okay.
But it's like this and creature coming out, and I don't know. It's very interesting. It's directed by Todd Haynes, who's done like a whole...
The Joker.
No.
That's, the Hangover.
blanking on it. But he's a great director. But anyway, so it's interesting. I feel like maybe some of the things went over my head, like apparently the comedy of it all.
Okay.
I went into it thinking it was going to be like more of a drama, and it was effective as such. It moves pretty quickly, but I didn't know what to take away from it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very interesting, and the acting is great. So I would recommend it just for that. Obviously, they're going to get some Oscar recognition, but the other movie I really wanted to talk about was Maestro, which I saw in theaters. I had to go see it in IPIC because it's a Netflix film and it gets weird releases throughout, at least in Houston anyway. And a little context, guys. I went to see this at early afternoon.
Okay.
I hadn't really had anything for breakfast. I'd had a slice of apricot tart.
Okay.
And then I got to the IPIC. I had a martini.
Okay.
And then I had an espresso. And then I had another cocktail when I sat down for the movie. So I was like in a happy place. I wasn't fucked up. I was like absorbing what was happening. But I also, you know, was like enjoying myself. So with that in mind, like, I have always kind of viewed Bradley Cooper is a bit of a twat. Like, I think he's talented, but he's just kind of got like that douchey dickhead vibe, you know? Okay. What I mean, maybe
I apologize, Bradley Cooper, huge listener. Yeah, no, of the podcast.
Bradley Cooper, just like hang tight because I'm about to suck your dick. But like I like with Maestro, I think he's really like outdone himself. Like, he,
wow,
as a director and an actor, like, he's incredible in this. And I had this was such a joyous movie for me. Yeah, I was just like so swept away with it all. It, like, his passion and affection for the character of Leonard Bernstein is like apparent in every frame. It is like the most gorgeous looking film of this year. It's kind of like going off to like watching The Wizard of Oz almost.
Right.
It starts in black and white. It's this beautiful black and white. And then it, like a halfway point, it kind of slips into color.
Uh-huh.
But with that kind of technicolor vibrancy. But it's like in the black and white, it's kind of like old timey, not old timey, but, you know, it's his younger days and his rise as a composer and how he meets his wife, played by Carey Mulligan. And then kind of as their marriage shifts, that's when it goes into color, and it's actually when the story starts to get a little more sad and melancholy.
Mm-hmm.
Melancholy is a strong word, but basically it covers the life of composer Leonard Bernstein, who did the music for West Side Story, On the Waterfront, but he also did, like, you know, he wrote his own music, and I don't know if he did an opera, but, you know, you just work and do pieces like that. And but the movie focuses more so on his marriage, and it feels more like a kind of sweeping romance, and just kind of like not a typical biopic. It's not trying to check off all these boxes of like his achievements throughout his life. It like follows them as they meet. He's like a young composer, she's a young actress, and it just kind of follows that, and it highlights certain moments to it. But what really like works for me too is, like, because it doesn't focus on the character and like what made him tick, it also, you know, you're watching his relationships unfold, but the whole movie is played with his music, like, and not just from like one film or product or whatever. It was just like different
cool
works from him, and it that's all the information you need about him as a composer, you know, without having to stop the movie and watch a performance, which it does eventually. Like, it happens in like a cathedral, and he's conducting Mahler, a piece by Mahler, a symphony by Mahler, and it's like the climax of the movie, and it is like absolutely breathtaking. And so the second half of this movie, I was like crying. I was in the IPIC, so it's in these like little pods, two-seater pods. So I was sat next to a stranger.
Okay.
And I was just like gently sobbing to the side because everything was so effective. Bradley Cooper.
Good for you. Good for her. Gently sobbing. That's good. Yeah.
She, I mean, I don't know if she enjoyed it or not. I was.
She handed you a tissue at one point.
No, she could have handed me a nacho, but apparently she wanted it all for herself. But yeah, no, I was really affected by it. This, and I think maybe your enjoyment of this depends on how you feel towards like classical music. Also, not necessarily, like I said, a biopic, but it feels more like a focus more on their marriage. Because Leonard Bernstein was kind of like openly bisexual, or very flippantly bisexual for that time anyway. But, you know, she was aware of it, you know, but it was trying to find that balance of maintaining the marriage and all of that between his lovers. But, God, it's just so effective. And, like, Luis, you remember during the Martin Scorsese ranking, you talked about how you didn't like in The Aviator, everybody was talking like this. And,
Shit like that.
So, like, if that's really not for you, that this movie is all about that kind of voice work. But okay. Everything I've seen, he looks and sounds exactly like him. He has a lot of prosthetic makeup
as the movie progresses,
but it's not distracting. I feel it looks pretty natural. It's actually some of the best old age makeup I've ever seen. Like, it works.
You were talking about the sweeping vistas of it all. Does the movie kind of replicate the movies of that era as well? Or is it
a little still bit, take a yeah, modern especially, take of it? Well, more so like his works, like they don't pull from like the West Side Story, but they give that kind of classic movie feel. Kind of romantically and there's like one scene that's kind of like a fantasy scene where he becomes a dancer and they're dancing to one of his
And then is
tunes.
There like a long staircase that goes all the way up and it's like a reflective floor and they're just like having a musical number?
Not quite, but
okay.
I know what you mean.
Like how they always do that. They always have like a long
staircase. Absolutely. Yeah, it's just like, and like stars in the backdrop.
Yes.
Or whatever. No, I got you. But to that point, it's very much that feel. Yeah. Okay. And then when it switches, there's just like so many emotional points that really hit home. There's a moment where he has a conversation with his daughter when there are like rumors going around of his like affair and stuff like that. And Maya Hawke is in it. I didn't know she was in this, but she plays his daughter, their daughter. But anyway, all that to say, I won't keep prattling on about it, but I really, really was blown away by this. I didn't expect it from Bradley Cooper. Like, we started watching A Star Is Born, we stopped halfway through and never went back to it.
You're not the first person I heard that from. Okay.
Yeah, well, Sarah and I looked at each other, we were just like, I get it. Like, I'd already heard Shallow to death, you know. So I'm just like, you know, whatever, I get it. So yeah, I wasn't really expecting to go into this walking away like as blown away as I was. I think he's really committed himself to this. You could tell just like how passionate he is about this character, Leonard Bernstein.
I'm a bit weary about this movie. I'm
curious. I would be suspicious to
I'm planning to see it.
I would love it, Luis, if you saw it in the theater. I understand it comes out on Netflix in 2 weeks, but like the cinematography, like I said, it's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, and with that music, it's so beautiful, so moving, and the performances are great. Like if any one of those actors in the leading acting category won, I'd be happy, including Bradley Cooper.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, it's great. Maestro. And that was a movie that was supposed to, like, originally was like a Steven Spielberg production. And then he decided to do West Side Story instead and told Bradley Cooper to direct it. He's a producer on this. Martin Scorsese is a producer on this. So if Maestro, by some, like, happenstance, wins Best Picture, everybody wins.
Wow. You know,
it's great.
There you go.
But, yeah, so, no, I was very taken with it. Like I said, if you could watch it in a theater where you get pulled in by it, it's well worth it. I'm very keen to see what you would think of it. Miguel, I'm not expecting you to watch this movie.
Good.
And that's all we'll say about that. But it was really good. It surprised me.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm going to check it out. And then I'm getting prepped for our, you know, top 10 movies of 2023. Yeah, 2023.
Yeah.
I've already got some movies on my list. So, you know, I have a few more to get to, and I only have some few spaces left. So something is going to get bumped.
I have every movie that I've seen this year. I have a ranking of the 2023 movies I've seen.
On Letterboxd?
On Letterboxd. So don't look it up, I guess. But I have been editing it on a very regular basis.
Of course.
Like, after every movie, I add the one I've seen. I'm at 35 right now. But yeah, I have them all ranked.
So. Me too. Yeah, I got 35 of them.
Miguel, I expect you to have a full 10 this
10.
Year. None Let's of that go. Seven bullshit. I know you've seen 10 movies.
Miguel has seen 10 movies for sure.
Yeah, yeah. At least.
And you guys get ready for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to be at least 9 of them. Okay, let's go.
I wouldn't even be mad.
You guys, what an episode.
Wait, do you guys really not have anything that you've been into?
Oh, sorry. No, I'm sorry. Luis, my bad. No, I don't.
No, what about? I mean, it's been kind of a crazy year. Like you said, the holidays are coming up. We're trying to wrap things up. Things are getting in the way. I watched The Holdovers, been watching Great British Baking Show. What else have I been watching?
Apparently
not. I finished. I know, apparently not. I've also finished Righteous Gemstones, actually.
Oh, nice.
Ooh.
Yeah,
so that I finished that. And is there anything else? I've been watching Cheers with Sarah. We finished Frasier. And so now we're like, oh, let's watch Cheers.
And, did you ever watch the new season of Frasier?
Yeah, I've watched a couple episodes of that show.
What do you think? Yeah.
I mean, it's fine, I guess. You know, it's like
it just doesn't feel like Frasier.
No, it doesn't. It's not
okay.
I think there are maybe three characters that I enjoy, and then the others I don't.
Yeah.
I think it just doesn't have that same kind of dynamic that the other one should. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do. Out of, like, the newer characters, I like Niles and Daphne's son, child.
Oh, he's in it? Okay.
Yeah. And the guy from, what's it called, Tenet, is also in it. He plays Frasier's son. He was the art dealer security guy in when they tried to steal the art from that, like, from the airport. Yeah. He's like going through everything. He's like, you see, you'll die if you try to steal this art. Yeah, he's the son.
You'll die if you watch the new season of Frasier.
And what else? I mean, I guess I played a little bit of Arkham Asylum. I was trying to find a game to play, and I played Arkham Asylum. And I've played that game before, but I don't remember it, so I tried to replay it. And it's really funny playing that off the heels of Spider-Man. Because
I'm trying to do two different eras, you know.
I can really feel it because I'm trying to do things in Spider-Man, and it's just not keeping up with me. When I'm doing Arkham, it's like, ooh, I'm feeling a little bit like I'm slogging through this. Do you know what I mean?
I've told you this before, but like, you know, that's like the intro to the series.
Yeah,
Arkham City is like the story. Arkham Knight is like the gameplay. You know what I mean?
The third one, right?
Yeah. As far as like the main trilogy, if you're looking for like the gameplay aspect to feel like kind of on par with the current generation of gameplay, that's the one. Arkham's.
yourself. Why don't you go have yourself a merry little Christmas?
Yes, celebrate yourself.
No, maybe we will. Maybe we don't. We don't know. Because I might be traveling. I don't know when you're traveling, Miguel. But
I leave next week. I leave next week. Let's go.
We'll figure it out. We're also planning, hopefully, to do a podcast episode together, which would be exciting. I can't wait for that. Ed, why am I hosting this? You're hosting this the whole time. I'm going to pass it off to you. What are we doing?
You just took it so naturally, though. I was like, you got your hat backwards and everything. That's right. You came in ready.
I need a haircut. Is why. That's what that is.
I doubt it. You handsome devil. You.
Yeah.
I need a haircut too. Yo.
I was gonna say, let me take you to my haircut place. Okay, I get a guest haircut. I get three and of you them get a whiskey? Year. Let me take you. Okay.
You got three haircuts a year. That's it
for guests.
Oh, word.
That's you too.
What does that mean? You have some sort of membership?
I do, maybe on a haircut.
Wait, what? That's a thing? You get memberships for haircuts? Like you can show up AMC A-list premiere? Like
now, unlimited, they tell me.
Unlimited. You were just in yesterday. Unlimited, baby. So
I can go back.
Well, we'll talk about hair stuff next week. But listen, I'm taking over again. It's been me, Luis Gonzalez, jumping in late. And leading up the podcast has been...
Ed Bull?
That's right.
Actually, Miguel started it, so...
Oh, yeah,
Luis didn't hear the beginning. It's me, Miguel!
And...
Ed Ball, right? And you, okay. And you, the listener. And thank you so much.
The listeners. Thank you so much. And until next time, have a good one.